Hello and welcome to Football Portal. Last week, we did the best Chelsea 11 in the Roman Abramovich era. So, if 15 years wasn't enough, we decided to do the best Manchester United 11 under in the Sir Alex Ferguson era. So, that starts from 1986 till 2012. So, as disappointing as it is that there's no Marouane Fellaini in the team, I think I would still go on with this. And I have three big Manchester United fans, two guys whom you heard on the podcast before. Yash, say hello.
Hi, guys.
And Manav.
Hi, everyone.
And a person whom we intended to bring on to the podcast for at least about 2 years, but distances of travel like restricted us. But finally, our dear friend Shashank is with us. Hi, Shashank.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
I thought you were only a Serie A fan. When did this Manchester United thing get off to you?
No, we'll do the Serie A and the homework part maybe in another session, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, actually, we've rounded off two or three Italians for the best 11 for Serie A. But they're like, let this Corona shit get over because we have no idea what's going on. So, that podcast is on hold. All right. Since we have to do two things, the first half of the podcast is the best 11 for Manchester United. And the second half is we're going to try and make a hipster 11. We'll tell the definitions as we go along. So, to make things faster, I think what I'll do is I'll give a position for each position and I'll just take a name out so that you guys can give your choices. And if Manav has any other contrarian opinion on it, we will definitely consider it, right?
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, Shashank, why don't you start with the easiest one, the best goalkeeper under Fergie?
Obviously, two names, you know, come up. Say Van der Sar and Schmeichel. For me, I'll go with Schmeichel. Because I think just setting that whole tone for United, you know, that solid defense with obviously the back four he had, and just the longevity with his career also. You know, making some famous saves, obviously. Making some famous signature moves also. So, I'll go with Schmeichel.
Man, how many goalkeepers did they buy before Van der Sar? From Schmeichel to Van der Sar, they had like at least some 14 goalkeepers, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, Schmeichel went down. That's when, I mean, they literally struggled for a keeper till Van der Sar came up. I mean, I remember, Roy Carroll, Kushak, some guys who don't even remember, I think. Like
Tim Howard.
Tim Howard was still decent. I mean,
Ben Foster.
For me, like Roy Carroll, Kushak, Foster, these guys are like not at all United material, if you ask me, but still, you know, even Barthez for that matter, you know, got a World Cup winner from 98 squad. That guy struggled. So, yeah, that was the kind of void Schmeichel left. So, yeah, Schmeichel for me, yes.
Yeah, I think one thing that will come across in this podcast is how Fergie buys all World Cup winners and then we discover that they probably are not very good. All right. Yash, let's go with two people. The centre-back pairing. This has to be a little harder than the goalkeeper choice.
I don't think so because the pairing of Vidic and Ferdinand was a pretty solid pairing and they held many records such as they were a part of that long unconceded, I don't know what, some 900 minutes unconceded record they had in the Premier League. And they played together for what, good 7 years under Ferguson, won five Premier League. So, I think it's a no-brainer that it's these two.
But who were the other good defenders they had? They had enough, no?
Yeah, but see, they had a good pairing in the early 90s with Pallister and Bruce. But, I mean, football was quite different back then. Like, from what people say about Gary Pallister is that he had no pace. He was one of those typically British bruisers. And when it came to Steve Bruce, what was his best quality was his leadership and how good he was on the ball rather than a centre-back. After that, Jaap Stam was there, who was a great defender, but he was there only for 3 years. So, I mean, United had a bunch of really good centre-backs, but no one comes as close to Ferdinand and Vidic.
Wow, really? So, the first decade of 90s, they just coasted along winning trophies without a good centre-back pairing.
No, of course they had, but you see, when it comes to centre-backs, as you said, the pairing is important. Yeah. So, they had, as I said, Pallister and Bruce, then May and Bruce, then there was this defender called Ronnie Johnson, who was a very good defender, but he struggled with his fitness. So he was around for a long time, but not many starts or appearances to justify his position in that.
Oh, Manav, do you have to add to it? Who do you think else is, who could be there in that team?
No, I think it's pretty straightforward when we have Vidic, Ferdinand. I think it has to be between Vidic, Ferdinand, Stam, Pallister and Bruce only. So, yeah, broadly these five names.
All right. Before we get to right back and all of you just scream Gary Neville, Manav, let's talk about left back.
Oh, yeah, this. So if we talk about left back, I think it's just, again, it boils down to two players.
Yep.
One would be Denis Irvine and second would be Patrice Evra.
What? Not Gabriel Heinze?
No.
Heinze, I think he played for a significant amount of time. He played as a centre back only. And also, again, he didn't play for that long at United. I think he was there for three seasons or four seasons. Mm. And so, yeah, I think it's between Evra and...
Denis Irvine. Oh, Shashank, you agree or?
I actually want to go to that Heinze point. Like, no, obviously it's between Evra and Irvine for me also. Irvine, I wouldn't pick just because I think he was one of those, you know, right-footed players who was made to play left back. Even then, one of you know, he was one of the best left backs around that time. But just the attacking threat that you know Evra used to bring in the match was the typical United way. So I think Evra is the right choice. But Heinze is a pretty close one. I mean, you know, if you want a office substitute for, say, an Evra, Heinze would be a good decision. It was just unfortunate during that time, you know, Fergie was also, you know, fiddling around with the team a lot. And then it just happened that he, you know, eventually had to play left centre back for a long time, then left back. And he continued in the left back position for a long time. I think we would have seen more of him and more of his qualities as a left back. But yeah, I agree with Manav. I'll go with Evra too.
Okay, right back Gary Neville. Really? Yeah. Is there no one else you guys have?
I would really like to pitch in with Joe Nocia.
Should have held that name back for the hipster 11.
Yeah, no. I am a big John O'Shea fan and he comes straight forward into my alternate 11 for my United.
Wasn't even Fergie a big fan of John O'Shea?
Absolutely.
He always had him on the bench, if not anything. And he played enough games as well, right, for United?
Yeah, he played a lot of games and in numerous positions. And
that is probably one thing that goes against him.
I till now, till Manav told me, I didn't even realize that John O'Shea was a right back or whatever. I thought he was some sort of defensive midfield. He was like our John Obi Mikel. I thought that was his job, to be a John Obi Mikel.
But honestly, one actual decent shout against Gary Neville would be Paul Parker, because he had five really good seasons at United. And Gary Neville was so good that he pushed him out. Parker was was England international and he played in that 1990 World Cup. So, the English really like him.
And Paul Parker, I don't know if you remember, you know, when we used to get all this Premier League feed from Singapore.
Right.
Paul Parker was there every week.
Every day. Yeah.
And my God, he worships at the altar of Fergie, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
Just for our viewers who are like, relatively new to football, John O'Shea even played goalkeeper for Man United for some minutes. And of course, that famous chip of his when he, which is plays Arsenal.
Yeah.
All right, Manav, which game did he play the goalkeeper? Do you remember?
I think it was against Tottenham.
Yeah.
Oh, against Tottenham, anyone can play goalkeeper. What is this?
No, but that there was a fun incident there. Like
that United could play Tottenham.
United were 4-0 up and Van der Sar got sent off and he came on. He started keeping and Robbie Keane was through on goal. John O'Shea came out of his box and tackled him and kept a clean sheet.
Wow.
And after that,
he went to the leg too that way. Right?
Yeah. And the thing is that the week after that was an international break and these two are international mates in Ireland. So he came back and said that I really roasted him in the Irish dressing room. Like, he couldn't score against me.
So, man, was Roy Keane involved in that dressing room in any way?
No.
All right, defensive mid. Roy Keane, I'm assuming.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, easily.
Even I can make this team on my own, I'm assuming.
That's why I told you, we can't have a podcast about this.
Yeah.
I mean, just this.
Is like a pretty easy pick. So.
Yeah.
How many years was Roy Keane in the team?
Oh, 13, I think. 13 years.
Okay, answer this, Shashank. After Roy Keane left the team, who was the defensive midfielder for Manchester United? Even I don't know the answer. I'm looking for answers.
No, but you mean that particular season or the next season after that?
The next season.
Oh, it was Michael Carrick and he was given the 16 Carrick. Number jersey.
Well, it was about Carrick and Coles, right?
That's so, Shashank, won't you choose, like, did Michael Carrick is also good enough shout, no? I in some ways, isn't he better than Roy Keane?
I
genuinely don't like Roy Keane, no. So I'm trying to, like, kick him out of it.
Nah. Yeah, I know what you're trying to do, but then Roy Keane has to be there. I mean, Paget has to be there. He, for me, is the captain because of.
Oh, okay. How heartbroken were you when Fergie and Roy Keane like fought? I don't even know what they fought for. Fought about? What did they fight about? The horse?
No, no. Those were the owners. They fought about one interview that Roy Keane gave to MUTV.
Oh, so
he actually ripped apart some other players in the same squad. So that didn't.
Like he does now as a pundit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's okay. And so we will go with what 4-4-2 because that's the biggest thing. Like most of the time, Fergie played that. So Shashank, who would you choose it right, left, left?
I was actually thinking. You know what? A United best 11. Actually, you have to think of the formation first.
4-4-2.
Yeah. Again, I understand. I understand 4-4-2. But
no, but
if
see, here's the
4-3-3. Then you know, Carrick might be a fit in somewhere there.
Nahi yaar. See, the only argument you have is whether you're going to play Ronaldo on the right and make space for a number 10 Cantona or play him up front and make space for Beckham on the right. That's the only interesting argument we can have.
What Shashank is trying to do is Shashank wants to get Cantona, Beckham, Ronaldo, possibly Rooney, Nistelrooy, all of them. So he's trying to see what formation works so that he can fit all of them in.
Guys, where is Paul Scholes?
Oh, abe, midfield to be
first name on the team sheet, man. Yeah.
All right. So Roy Keane and Paul Scholes. Paul Scholes is the guy who earned so much lesser than one story about Paul Scholes I remember is that towards the end of his career, when they wanted to talk some contract extension, I think Scholes, he finished it in like 2 minutes. He said, Joe Dero, why though? Yeah, some give me a 10% cut, I'm fine with it. But and he just signed that contract. I don't know how true or false that is, but I guess that just shows that how much he loved playing for Fergie.
Yeah. I think
he have an agent, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Even Neville and Scholes, I don't think they had agents.
Both of them didn't have agents.
Yeah.
All right, Shashank, so what do you have to say about Paul Scholes? Is he like Gerard, Lampard and Carrick put together?
I think for me he's the you know the best centre midfielder I've watched. So I'll put him over Javi. I'll put him over even Polo. Yeah, for me the best 11 if I have to pick, I'll put Zidane and Scholes. That's how much I like Scholes. So I mean for me he was basically the metronome for the entire team.
Dude, he can't be that good.
Sarubhaiya, even Xavi says Scholes is his idol.
Everyone says because they've all like done so well internationally. Now they'll say whatever they want. No one said it while playing.
Okay, but to answer your question, I wouldn't say. I think Gerrard has a few qualities which maybe Scholes doesn't have to that extent.
Yeah, like he slips in front of the goal a lot.
So there is some like there's a like burst of burst of energy which Gerrard brings to the game sometimes where that kind of explosiveness maybe Scholes doesn't have, but the way he controls the game for me, especially towards the end of his career, that was something I feel even Gerrard and Lampard couldn't do. Obviously Lampard was a different kind of player, more
Lampard
towards the goal
was
than,
always looking for defenders through whom deflection can go into a goal.
So if I don't think Lampard could control the midfield as well as maybe a Gerrard and Scholes would. But again, not exactly a combination of these two. But if I were to pick one between, from these three, I'd pick Scholes, obviously.
All right. So we have Roy Keane and Paul Scholes. Bano, why don't you go with left wing and right wing?
It's pretty easy. Again, I would choose Giggs and Ronaldo as my wingers if it's a 4-4-2 or a 4-4-1-1.
You're not choosing David Beckham? Dude, how can you not choose David Beckham?
I've kept him for my alternate 11, Saruya. I'm choosing on...
Hipster. He's a hipster also.
No. In fact, only yesterday I was watching this match, United versus Real Madrid, the Champions League quarter final.
Yeah, Beckham played really
and you
well.
See Beckham comes off the bench and just changes the whole match with one free kick and other crosses, which if converted, the result could have been different. So, yeah, I'm sure Ronald Beckham was a great player, class of 92 and everything else. But I just think Ronaldo, he led us to a Champions League final. He had a scintillating season in terms of both goal scoring and his assists. Plus, he won the Ballon d'Or when he was at United. So, if you ask me, probably I have seen more of Ronaldo at Man United than Beckham. As in live, so I would personally choose Ronaldo over Beckham if I have to choose one of them.
Yash, here's a question: how many good seasons did Ronaldo have for United, and how many good seasons did Beckham have for United?
Ronaldo 3.5, I would say.
Good ones, not the initial step over annoying ones.
So yeah, so if total was 6.
Okay.
He was here for six seasons, so 3.5 good ones and 2.5 average ones, and Beck said. Definitely had much more of it.
Yeah, man. I mean, are you also agreeing with Manav? Giggs and Ronaldo it is.
Oh, Giggs for sure. I'd say Ronaldo because clearly I mean, the Premier League hasn't seen a player like of that quality of Ronaldo.
Okay, fine.
So, yeah.
So, now we have space for two people in the striking position. I would give one for Yash and one for Shashank to answer. Yash, why don't you start with one? Your choice. There's so many. I was actually going through the list of United.
No, I'd play one. I mean, the easy answer is Cantona playing 10.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't know, dude. I mean, didn't Cantona just play like 3 seasons for United or something?
5 he played.
And 5, I think.
4, he was the main player in 4 of those victories. Like, he was the talisman.
Okay. And Shashank, who would your choice be?
So, Yash, you just said a 4-4-1-1, right?
Cantona, you have to play number 10, right? So, Bacha, you have to play number 9, right?
I think I'll go with Van Nistelrooy.
Didn't Andy Cole play?
No, Andy Cole actually was quite a disappointing player. Like, he has great stats because he was there for 5 seasons. So, he has a lot of goals, but he was probably like the Berbatov type player of that era. That one season, he would score a bunch of goals, but he would flatter to deceive and all.
Yeah, considering the number of seasons Cole had, I think you would expect that he would have scored more goals. I think that's what Van Nistelrooy did pretty well.
All
the
right,
time he was there, he had a straight impact right on when he came. And, you know, he was at this, you know, almost like, you know, game in, game out, he used to perform like till the time he was there.
There is a player who scored a lot of goals, probably more than Van Nistelrooy as well for United. His name is Wayne Rooney.
Mostly, Saruveya is the highest goal scorer.
I know, but I'm because Shashank's point was Nistelrooy scored a lot of goals. So I was just replying that, you know, Shashank, even Rooney scored a lot of goals.
No, just it so happens that I think day or two back itself, Rooney made some comments saying, you know,
okay, so we're taking the best Manchester United 11 based on comment Rooney made 2 days ago.
No, even that's the point. Even Rooney agrees that he should have scored way more than what he actually got. So. I think the impact just as a striker that Nistelrooy had for the team was as a striker itself, I'm saying, was much more than Rooney had as a striker.
Yeah, Rooney played mostly number 10 or maybe 8.5 or whatever that position that Jose calls.
Yeah, he's 8.5 he was. Yeah, but who are the other big strikers for United? Nistelrooy and Rooney?
Teddy Sheringham he of course did not score as many goals, but he played very well at number 10 for United. He had one good season where he scored, I think, 20+, but he was more of a provider than a scorer.
There was this thing that
Teddy had a few good seasons.
Yeah, United wanted to buy Shearer for the second time or something. They couldn't buy Shearer. That year they bought Solskjaer and Teddy Sheringham.
No, Solskjaer came in a different season. Solskjaer came from a much smaller league and he always came on as a sort of a sub type of player. He was never bought in to be a starter.
All right.
And Sheringham being English and all that, with that hype, he was bought as Cantona's replacement.
Okay, bolo Shashank.
Dwight York. No,
even Dwight York, we're missing.
Dwight York was there too briefly.
The amount of time he had there wasn't enough, I guess.
I always.
And he mostly worked well as a part.
I always get confused between Dwight York and Emil Heskey. Nikon.
Oh no, come on. Come on.
All right. So if that's the 11, Shashank, no, Manu, what's your alternate 11? Jaldi, run through the names.
Yeah.
So it will be Van der Sar in goal, John O'Shea and Dennis Irwin as the fullbacks. I'll pick Pallister and Steve Bruce as the center backs. In midfield, I would have Carrick and Jisung Park.
What?
Yeah, I think Park is one of my favorite players. And
they work well in. They work really well in Europe, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Ask Andre Pirlo.
Okay. So, I will ask Andre Pirlo.
And I'll have Beckham on the right since he's available.
Wow, we're throwing crumbs at Beckham here.
Then we can. I think Nani has a good shout for the left wing.
Abhi, abhi kuch bhi bol raha hai yaar, naam tu.
No, abhi really, gigs ne monopolize kar diya na guru.
Haan, exactly. Yeah, so he's a distant second, of course. I'm not denying, but he's a good second.
So yeah, actually, if you think of it, left mid Giggs played for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So there's no left in left mid. You can't. There's no other left midfielder to choose.
Exactly.
Fine, Nani or strike me.
Otherwise, if you want a 4-3-3 or something, you play three midfield.
Up to
and
you,
then
man.
Up front in options you have
Beckham then.
Beckham can play centrally. Have... Beckham was a very good central midfield.
Beckham yeah, played so, center for some time, so.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah, and in forward, we have lots of options. We just mentioned York, Cole. Then we have, I think Ole has a decent shout as well.
So, Aris, just pick three, no, so that we,
yeah,
you know, we have other options in the next 11 that we're doing.
Pick three.
So, I'll have Cole, York and Ole.
Cross kon marega in logon ke liye?
Beckham hi marega, no?
So easy.
I don't think John O'Shea can cross. I don't think that's one of his qualities, no?
He doesn't need to cross. He just needs to find Beckham.
All right, we should take a break right now. And after the break, we'll do a hipster 11. And I hope there will be much more colorful characters that come out. Because the
come
more
on.
We, yeah, the more we realize, it's just like bloody all this United class of 92 played for 20 years. It's like, oh, I was just going through this tennis thing. I didn't know Joe Wilfred Tsonga was age 34. He turned 34 yesterday. And
people, oh, wow.
People are like, you know, Federer, Novak and Rafa have ruined like two generations of tennis.
Yeah.
That we don't even know the names of the league. That's something like class of 92 is exactly that. Chalo, we should take a break right now. And after the break, we do the hipster 11. Welcome back to Football Twaddle. We are now going to focus on the hipster 11 for Manchester United. The definition of hipster is someone who you would definitely find at a karaoke bar or doing karaoke after 2 in the morning. So with that in mind, you need to choose players who are basically party animals and who basically...
colorful and fun.
Colorful and fun. That is the only criteria. So, Yash, goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper, I would say Fabian Barthez. I mean, he was nuts. He was absolute nuts. I mean, I remember this one. I think it was Henry. He was onside. Kuch nahi diya tha. This guy just stands there with his hands up. And he did all sorts of mad histrionics. Like the typical mad goalkeeper was Fabian Barthez. So for me, it's Barthez.
Was Roy Carroll a nutter goalkeeper than Fabian Barthez?
No, he was a loser. I don't know why did he fight it. He was so bad. He was in that derby team which accumulated only 11 points in that
horrid season. You don't say 11 points is accumulation, Yash. All right. So, Shashank, the centre-backs.
I'll definitely put Yapstam there.
I don't think Yapstam comes across as a very fun guy or a party guy.
Oh, no. There have been stories with, you know, where he used to fool around with even, say, Schmeichel and all these guys. Obviously, on the face of it, he looks like one, you know, a hardcore defender, you know, like any forward we scared to go against him. But there are like, I think he's that you know, that silent guy who like after the win, definitely going to like, you know, crank it up and like go wild at a karaoke.
And Ferguson kicked him out of the team or whatever, transferred him because of some things he wrote in his biography. Yapstam. So he must be like a bit of a naughty boy.
He does karaoke and writes biography after 2 in the morning. already. Who's the other centre back?
Ooh, the other centre back is a tough choice, actually.
I've got one. There was this guy called David May.
Oh, yeah.
Guy called David May who had one good season in 96-97. After that, he was always a sub. And after United won the treble, he went up there and celebrated. If you see those photos, he's up there celebrating as if he's won the treble all on his own.
Yes, he comes to India 4 times in a year.
For what?
For these I Am United events and all the PR which Man United does in India.
So, Manav must have done karaoke with him after two.
Manav must have sung some Rastar songs with David May.
No, only Bohemia Sarubia.
All right. So, if those are the centre-backs, Manav, I would give you both right-back and left-back.
I think right-back will be Rafael.
Yes.
I think he was a pretty naughty kid. And I think Van Persie in one of his interviews told that when Man United were about to win the league in the last season of Sir Alex, and two players went out and partied before they had sealed the league and all. And that's why Sir Alex had put some pictures and all of them. If we lose the league from here, it would be because of these two people. And Rafael was one of them.
But Rafael,
so I would definitely put Rafael
also,
in there. Sorry?
Rafael was a decent footballer also, no?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, see, that doesn't stop him from being a hipster.
That is true. And left back?
If I can repeat, I would put Patrice Evra. Especially for his post-retirement, you see his Instagram, you see his social media.
No.
He seemed like a different
post-retirement
person.
Post-retirement is not counted, Manav. During, while they were playing.
While you're playing, I can't really think. Yash can probably help me out with the left back.
Shashank, why don't you also think a left back? Who was? What happened to those brothers of Brazilian brothers, Fabio and all?
Are you Rafael is his twin?
Yeah, Rafael is the other brother.
I didn't want to put both of them.
So if we stick to the theme of brothers, maybe Phil Neville used to do this weird.
The step over.
Weird step over, yeah.
You, what was that, Shashank? Kya step over karta hai tha? I thought Phil Neville was a pretty random footballer.
So, Phil Neville was like always made fun of at training, especially by that class of 92 and, you know, that generation. Because in training, the only move that he had was apparently that one step over which he kept practicing, which he never actually got to use in a proper match. So, actually, Phil Neville is not a bad option there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, fine. Phil Neville. Now, let's come to the central midfield pairing. Obviously, Scholes is not a party animal. I think Scholes goes to sleep at like 7:30 in the night, I think.
Yeah.
Like when they win a treble, he'll probably like stretch it to 7:45. He seems like that kind of a guy. And Roy Keane obviously is not a party animal as well. There's no.
So if you're going by party animals, it has to be Brian Robson. Like he was the typical man's footballer who used to be drunk the previous night and next day he'll come and mark Maradona.
Was Brian Robson like the Tony Adams of Arsenal? Like Brian Robson is the equivalent for Manchester United?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much so, or even more because he was a midfielder, so they depended on him to mark players, score goals. He was a classic footballer and a classic party animal. Like Ferguson had to go great lengths to control him and stop these class of 92 people being influenced by him.
Hey, tell me one thing. When people like Brian Robson become the manager, right?
Yeah.
What is it they tell players? Let's say a player like breaks curfew and goes to party. what on earth will Brian Robson say? Like it.
Don't do the mistakes that I did.
Come
no,
on,
he will say, why didn't you call me? We could have gone together.
We would have discussed tactics in karaoke.
He'll probably go over them and tell stories about that England team maybe. Tell stories or gather someone.
Oh man, that team had so many drinkers. It's like, it's unbelievable how they even turned up for tournaments. Like, did you guys read about Maradona? Like his weekly routine, what it used to be in Napoli. He used to use once, if the match was on a Sunday, he used to use Saturday as detox day. Like from Saturday afternoon, he was like, or from Saturday night, 7 o'clock, he was off any sort of drugs. Then he used to play on Sunday and Monday to Wednesday, he's chilled out again. They're like, kahan hai? With no idea. So, United didn't have anyone like that, no? Like, come on, Fergie would have pooped them, so.
Oh, well, they had the original. They had George Best. But, of course, he was from before Fergie.
Yeah. All right. So, if Brian Robson is one of them, Shashank, who could be the other centre midfielder?
I'd put Anderson there. Definitely. I mean, we've had like pretty bad midfielders also there, but Hipster, I guess, Anderson obviously comes to mind. Others, yeah. There's obviously Kleberson, we have Jemba. I mean, we have some, you know, goofy players also there. You know, we obviously have our Scholes and Thompsons, but then, you know, we also have our Jemba. So.
But I don't think Kleberson and Jemba seen the sort to. I think Anderson was more naturally. He was born to enjoy life.
Yeah, exactly.
He was proper.
Exactly. Even I think when he was given that proper chance, when if you remember, Anderson and Cleverley were like the made, you know, the proper center midfielders at that time. Oh, you know, Scholes was obviously took a step down. Then man, these two, like, I remember the first 2-3 matches they played, Anderson would be just like all out. He didn't care at all about, you know, going back, just trying like different things. I mean, yeah, he's a funky fellow, yeah.
But I remember. Do you remember Anderson? I think there was one game I saw in which 93rd minute or something, he had a screamer from like 25, 30 yards towards the end of the game.
That must have been Nani.
Abhe, Nani, I think, did step over at that time or something.
No, Nani has a fantastic highlights reel. Anderson barely scored like 3 or 4 goals.
So one of them was this. And people are like, is this the birth of the new Anderson? And then he was found in a Manchester nightclub at 3 a.m. the next day to celebrate the goal. All right. Yash and then Manav. So we have Anderson, we have Brian Robson. Huh. So, who are the supplementary or complementary midfielders to them? Come on. I mean, at least in Hipster level.
No, there was this guy, yaar, who initiated Ryan Giggs into the whole party culture, and Ferguson went to his house and caught him. What's his name?
Sharpie.
Huh?
Sharp.
Lee Sharp, yes. Lee Sharp,
yeah.
Yes.
Lee Sharp. What was he doing?
No, he apparently was a very, very good footballer. Like, I've seen a few videos of him where he has great skill, but, I mean, his lifestyle sort of...
He comes in a class of 92 also. He was around that same time. But just that, you know, those six main guys is like, you know...
He's basically one of those players whose career has been ruined by class of 92 by being so good.
Yeah, exactly.
Lee Sharp is a United Academy product.
No, he was bought when he was very young.
At an early age, yeah.
Like, all right. 18 or something, Ferguson got him in.
Yeah, but if he can go, if he can take Giggs to a party and Fergie had to go to his house to stop him.
Isn't there a funny story with Sharp and Cantona? I'm sure, I think Yash you would remember.
I don't. Bata na.
No, this is that day when, you know, Cantona obviously kicked that fan. That super kicked that fan.
Right.
And, you know, that day Sharp is obviously talking to the, you know, the other players in the locker room saying, you know what, this time Cantona is really going to get it from Fergie. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he was just standing there and, you know, Fergie comes in. He didn't say a word to Cantona. He just went to Sharp saying, you know, why did you lose that ball there?
Man,
Sharp was all ready to, you know, have fun with you. You know, Cantona, he got his ass busted again.
He was a fall guy.
So that's so sad.
Yeah. So this is Ferguson's legendary man management skills, right? He knows whom to mess with.
Yeah.
Like, Cantona was the only player he ever had tea with. Like, they used to just sit, have tea and talk about football. And I think Rooney has recently come up with, in his interview, he said that Nani had such a fragile, whatever, self-worth or something that if Ferguson said something to him, he would start crying.
Oh,
as opposed to that, Rooney is really a, you know, a tough, whatever, Scouser kid. So instead of shouting at Nani, Ferguson used to shout at Rooney.
Oh, dude.
So that the message goes clear to Nani, and but still he doesn't, you know, it doesn't affect him psychologically.
I remember this. Like, I mean, I think all the managers do this. Like, to what degree of success, apparently, it comes across as trophy. There's a story of how Mourinho basically told Victor Baia, I'm dropping you from the team. But it is just to, like, you know. So, and then Victor Baia thought, okay, only this week he's going to drop. For like 3 weeks, he didn't pick him up. And he's like, hey, boss, am I going to play? He's like, I'm just trying to send a message across to the team. So you don't play. All right, Mana, who is the other midfielder?
I don't know. Does Ashley Young qualify?
he does qualify, but from when he's turned vegetarian, I don't think. And he's drinking green tea a lot, so I don't think Ashley Young is the. I thought Chris Smalling would be a good example, but then I read about his lifestyle and what he eats, and he only drinks green tea, so whatever. Not Ashley Young, man. There must be other players.
I don't know. Was Andrei Kanchelskis interesting? He was a good player.
Kanchelskis we had. We had what? Obertan we had.
Abe, come on.
Or just let's just pick three forwards, no? Okay.
Yeah, let's just pick three forwards. So the midfield is like random Brian Robson,
Anderson, and Sharp. Yeah, midfield.
Actually, it's quite a decent midfield. Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, well, if you put Robbo in any midfield, it'll look half decent.
You think they couldn't beat the midfield two of Scholes and Roy Keane?
No chance. Maybe if they go drinking the previous night, I'm sure Robbo will be able to hold his drink much better than the others.
All right. So forward, you have three choices. Come on, Manav.
Forwards. I don't know. I think we should pick someone who didn't play much.
Makeda?
Yeah. Man. Even Danny Welbeck for that matter.
Oh, yeah. Just for his cool dancing moves, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Welbeck seems like he desperately wants to go to karaoke in the 46th minute.
How would here, Dwight York would get in just for being a West Indian.
Yeah, like, Dwight York, even Louis Saha, man. Saha seemed like such a cool guy. And he scored decent enough goals. Yeah, not like a bad Saha was player.
Good. Saha was good.
I think we're forgetting Alan Smith.
Sorry?
Who? Alan Smith.
Alan Smith more seems like a brawler more than a singer. So we're looking at what? Dwight, York, Welbeck, and Alan Smith.
Yeah, looks good.
That's not that bad, honestly.
Or maybe Dimitar Berbatov just for the cool guy in there.
I think Berbatov was off color when we saw him in India, so we don't even know.
Oh.
Really, if he's.
So cancel. No Berbatov.
Yeah, and is Park Ji-sung, are they any good?
Park Ji-sung was in the alternate team, no?
I know, but Carlos Tevez, isn't he like...
Oh, yeah.
Or is he like... Because he...
The problem is he seemed a little too angry in later in his career.
Man, one thing I didn't realize, like, you know, Paul Pogba, even he did play under Fergie, right?
Yeah.
Technically, he did. He played one and a half.
He is quite hipster, dude.
If you want to go by technicality, then you can put in there.
We could also consider Ravel Morrison.
I don't think he had a start. Yeah. That's the only thing.
He would start in what? In some drunkard's 11. Who cares whether he starts or not? But yeah, so who would the bench be? Paul Pogba would be a bench. One of the strikers whom we did not choose will be the bench. I think Roy Carroll has to be there. He seems to be right. In spite of your abuse in the beginning. It's not his fault that your team sucked then.
He made a goal, legitimate goal that went in not be a goal.
Yeah.
Pedro Mendes.
Wait, I thought that was Tim Howard.
No, it was Roy Carroll.
Okay. I would
Tim
ask
Howard was the best of the lot.
I would ask a very serious question of Shashank. Is Michael Owen a hipster?
Oh, God.
Oh, no. I think after retirement, the way he talks on his panel, I'm pretty sure he's not a hipster.
How about Mame Diouf?
Mame Behram Diouf. Surely on the bench.
I'm forgetting Quinton Fortune.
Come on. Oh, Mazdoor tha yaar. He was a hard worker. He used to run around.
Fortune is such a goody two shoes. I don't think.
Yeah.
If instead of Fortune, you can choose Bebe. Dude, this Manchester Evening use is so enlightening. The players, you guys have forgotten about Javier Hernandez.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah. It wouldn't
if
be a bad.
Doing a bacha party 11 or something. Javier Hernandez will be up top. Solskjaer on the right. Something like that.
Oh. Actually, Ferguson did buy Wilfred Zaha. He never played. I mean, he went back on loan. But, I mean, we know what he was up to otherwise in life.
Okay, the last question. Does anyone remember a player called Agnelo Henriques?
No, he never played. He came as a... He only played in the reserves and was sent out on loan.
He came from Chile. They directly picked him up from Chile.
Yeah.
Never made an impact at the club, it seems. And alright, I'll ask only tough questions of Shashank. Shashank, one more question to you. Who is the player who was tipped to be the successor to Patrice Evra and he came from Vitesse in Netherlands?
Butna. Alex Butna.
Yeah.
He was not that bad, honestly. He wasn't that bad. I mean, he had like good attacking qualities. Obviously, fine. He couldn't defend that
I
way.
Mean, it's time to call out bullshit. How many of his United games did you watch?
No, actually, basically at that time, Van Persie was carrying the whole team. So, pretty much the whole team was pretty bad. So,
right.
But now, okay, he wasn't the greatest, but then he wasn't that bad.
So, why did you guys sell him? Who is the left back after that?
Who was the left back? Ashley Young.
Dude, he was
so we had Fabio and Alexander Butner around the same time.
No, but this guy, LVG bought three left backs in one season. No, Rojo. This guy, who's the current
Daily Blind.
Rojo, Daily Blind and Shaw.
Yeah, and he used to play some other academy players, Tyler Blackett and at left back.
I don't know. I mean, is LVG secretly stupid? Why does he try so many left backs? I don't know.
We don't know. And I like, if you look at all these people, I was just going through. Mikhail Silvestre was there in the team. Such a cool guy he was. I quite liked him as well. I don't know for what reason.
Because he was so bad at Aston.
Yeah, that probably has helped a lot. But I mean, it's quite sad that none of you guys chose Phil Jones as a good example. Phil Jones.
But peak Phil Jones was after Fergie, dude.
No, not peak Phil Jones, but
peak. Even his hipsterism, like when he came, and I mean, he was just like what, 19 or something, and he seemed like a reasonable average defender under Fergie. After that, all his hijinks started after Fergie retired.
All right, the last question of this podcast to each of you, Shashank, the first one: who in the class of 92 did you not like the most? Like you disliked the most?
I think Phil Neville.
Why do you like?
I mean, it's yeah, I guess he didn't get a lot of chance also because of his versatility. Actually, you know, didn't work out well for him at all. He could play left back, he could play right back. Sometimes even, you know, like being posed, he could do a decent job at a CDM also. But then just that these positions were taken up by, you know, much better players. I think Gary wasn't that great in terms of ability, and but then just the spirit he brought to the game was I think much more than Phil Neville.
Speaking of Phil Neville, I was just seeing an interview of Phil Neville, their sister Tracy and Gary on Sky Sports. So apparently, I mean, their parents used to take them to watch all sports, and the sister said, "I used to hate watching Phil the most. I mean, they used to play cricket as well because Phil used to bat like Jeff Boycott, and we used to have to sit there all day watching him bat." And Flintoff has actually said that if he could have made it to the England cricket team and was really good at cricket.
Yeah, Phil was a decent cricketer. I saw this in an interview long ago. But anyway, he would have been boring there also. So, whatever. All right. Manav, the next question. Who is the worst signing Fergie made?
Worst signing? I think, from what I've read and all, I think Veron would qualify for that.
Ooh.
Yeah, but you know they sold Veron to Chelsea. Fergie made money on that also. He lost some money, but he got like 15 to 16 million selling Veron to Chelsea.
Yeah, an older and washed up Veron.
he was so bad at United, yeah. Who, like, so you wouldn't consider Klebers and Jemba to be in the Veron level of worst signings?
No, when you say worst signing, Sarubia, you have to somewhere see what you pay and what you get. Jemba and Cleverson were not those that expensive buys. But when you're signing someone like Veron, you expect a lot of things and all. When if that doesn't work out.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And Yash, one player from the United Academy who got away, who you would want back in United team. Like, you know, somehow did not get the opportunity and he went on to, but you thought he could do well in the team?
From the Ferguson era?
Huh.
I think there are many. I don't know. I mean, now Johnny Evans is at Leicester and is doing reasonably well. So.
Oh, even City wanted to buy Johnny Evans, no?
Yeah. And I thought he was better than Smalling and Jones anyway. So when United did let him go, I was pretty surprised.
Man, just answer this. What is the agenda between the longevity of Smalling and Jones? That they do contracts, extensions, every man. They're like, so they played under Fergie, they played under Moyes, they played under Van Gaal, Jose and Ole. And all of them have signed contract extensions through all the five managers. Like, what is it that about these two players that we don't
I think there's one obvious answer, that there's a quota of homegrown players that you need to have. And instead of taking a chance on some 18-year-old kid from the academy, I think they're like, okay, let's keep these pensioners on.
At such high money.
So, I mean, they'll come on and play a couple of Premier League games and so on. I mean, at least Smalling towards the end of his career was reasonably good enough. He used to stop at least the relegation threatened teams from scoring. So, yeah, I mean, it was easier to keep them on rather than find a new good defender in England and sign him. It would have been very expensive, plus I don't think the owners were too keen on spending a lot of money.
Wow. So they forced five managers to sign contract extensions for these two players. That is some commitment, man.
You know, I think, sir, one name which we missed in that, the one that got away player from the academy, I think it would be Gerard Pique.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, he turned out to be a really good centre-back.
Obviously, his
time. And we just couldn't accommodate him because at that time we had Vidic and Ferdinand.
Oh,
and we had Keane and Pique was just kind of Keane.
I didn't know Pique was a United Academy product.
So he was part of the Moscow Champions League squad.
I think he was at Barca till 16-17. Then he came to United for like good 4 years.
Hmm.
And I remember him playing in the Premier League, and I think it was against Bolton or one of these high ball teams, and he was not really able to handle it.
Man,
That probably made the United team decide on losing him.
Alright, okay guys, thanks a lot for this. Next week is going to be Arsenal 11. You know what? The best. Yeah. What I'll do next week is best Arsenal 11 after Invincibles.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
And then they'll have to choose all those snakes, Fabregas, Ron, Van Persie. Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you,
Manav.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, Manav, a pleasure as always.
Thank you, Saruvia.
And Yash, you too.
Thank you. Stay safe, guys.
Oh, and it's Yash's birthday in some time. So,
drop
him some birthday messages later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Take care.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.